Welcome back, everybody. This is a crossover episode. It's Locked On Ravens, Locked On Bills. I'm Matthew Stevens. You can catch me on Twitter at MatthewS_NFL. We've got Jacob Troxel here. You can catch him at TROX3, Trox3 on Twitter. You can also catch Kevin Messere, Locked On Bills guy here. Kevin Messere, as easy as that, KevinMassare on Twitter. Locked On Bills, Locked On Ravens, those are both the things there. So it's a great crossover episode. We're going to talk a little bit about the quarterback situation for both teams. We're going to talk about when the Ravens have the ball and then when the Bills have the ball. So a lot of really good analysis in this show if you're either a Bills fan or a Ravens fan. Thanks for joining us, Kevin. I appreciate it.
Get on. These Locked On crossover shows do crazy good for us, so really good to get another input and really looking forward to doing this one.
Excellent. And Jacob, I know you're excited. Every single episode we do this, it gets better and better and better, so another great episode ahead of us here.
Yeah, and just every episode means we're one day closer to regular season football, so that's always a positive.
Precisely it. Well, let's go ahead and talk a little bit about the quarterback situation. You know, Nathan Peterman, Joe Flacco for the Bills and then for the Ravens. Both those guys have a lot to prove this season. Kevin, talk to us a little bit about where Nathan Peterman really is. He obviously beat out Josh Allen, but is he the guy in Buffalo right now, or is that just a stopgap?
I would say he put AJ McCarron to shame. He came in and obviously coming off of the LA Chargers game for us last year, where he threw 5 interceptions in the first half, filling in for, you know, trying to get a spark for Tyrod Taylor at the time. And he really had a really good spring, one that no one wanted to admit as good as it was here in Buffalo, and put himself right back in the position. Everyone thought it was a 2-man race, but actually by the end of spring, it was really a Josh Allen versus Nathan Peterman battle, as AJ McCarron, he does what AJ McCarron does. He wasn't very good. He got hurt, which kind of knocked him out of really good contention. His time with the ones and preseason game 2 wasn't very good either. Then he got hurt, kind of put him on the outs. And then from there, traded him for a 5th round pick to Oakland. And then the Bills rolled with 2 quarterbacks. I think it's been their plan all along to give Nathan Peterman 3 to 4 games here before they're rolling with Josh Allen, who, I mean, the front office loves him. Everyone loves him. They just, quite frankly, have a couple of really strong games here, including Minnesota, Green Bay for the Bills. They're playing 4 games with Nathan Peterman before trotting him out there, which most likely scenario is game 5. So he's the future. They traded up to get him. They wanted him even. They claim ahead of Baker Mayfield. So he's the guy that they're going to live and die with, like any regime does, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Ravens fans we'll know a little bit about that with Lamar Jackson this year. He's not going to be inserted in quite the same way that Allen is, but still a guy that they've put a lot of time and effort and draft equity into already to be the future of this franchise. Jacob, real quick, let's talk a little bit about Joe Flacco. Obviously, he's got RG3 behind him. He's got Lamar Jackson behind him. You know, we've talked a little bit about him on Locked On Ravens podcast about how he's really looked tremendous this preseason and in training camp. You know, what is he really looking for this season as a whole?
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, he's got a couple weapons too that'll be nice to have. Some tight ends at that position, just having depth there will be key for him. I mean, Joe Flacco, I'm as far as expectations and where he's at, he's only thrown for 4,000 yards once in his career, and that was back in 2016. So, you know, obviously a lot of people around here are very excited about Lamar Jackson, but this is still Flacco's team. And I think it's fair to expect, you know, good seasons or at least good showings in this first game from both these quarterbacks. And what I mentioned on yesterday's show too was, you know, what Kevin was saying about how Peterman was selected over essentially 3 different guys. So, and Flacco has been the guy here for a while, since he came in 2008. So, you know, both these guys are going to be in a decent position to be able to, you know, start the season off on a good note here.
Yeah, you know, we talked about it in our last episode on Locked On Ravens, but I think we both saw Peterman as a guy, and Kevin, maybe you can back this up, Peterman as a guy that just don't screw up, really. If you just go ahead and hand the ball off to McCoy, you let the defense do what the defense does, and you just don't make any major negative plays, you'll put us in a pretty good position to win most weeks. Is that kind of the sentiment over there?
On that, it's actually interesting. You would think that as a fifth round rookie last year, that's what you're trying to get out of Nathan Peterman. He's actually kind of polar opposite. Go figure, right? The Bills went to him after Tyrod Taylor, probably the one, believe it or not, one of the game's most conservative players at the quarterback position, especially in his time in Buffalo. And I believe you'll see that in his time in Cleveland. They put him in to spark the offense. They didn't put him in to hand the ball off to LeSean McCoy and throw quick routes. He's in there. They're in there to move the ball offensively. He actually started preseason 9 for 10, if not 10 for 10, all throws, no runs called. Brian Daboll is going to get the ball out of his hands, and he's going to be looking down the field. He's not going to be a quarterback that's going to sit there and try to actually, he gets into trouble on quick, easy passes where he got picked off 5 times. But he's a different player. That should be noted. Will he be drastically different from what we saw last year? It remains to be seen. Is he going to be the guy that's going to go out there and throw 5 interceptions? Absolutely not. He's a much improved player. And he's actually probably a quarterback the Bills are developing on a $600,000 salary to be a backup quarterback of the future. So that's kind of the Bills' opinion. They want to have him ready if it's ever needed down the road. Have him on a limited fifth-round pick salary. Once again, you don't have to have too much money invested with two rookie deal quarterbacks, and they're going to have $90 million here in Buffalo next year. That's completely their strategy. They want to get him this game action against Baltimore. So he's ready to go if he's ever called upon it, and they want to develop a quarterback too. I think they've talked about it. It's something that's not done enough in this league where everyone focused on QB1, but a lot of the times you need your QB2 to be solid. Look at Nick Foles. And that's what the Bills are trying to develop, a player that they can call on like a Nick Foles if needed. So that's completely, completely what they're after, trying to develop like a Case Keenum style of guy and eventually go to Josh Allen here early on this season. So for you in Baltimore with Lamar Jackson, having a completely different skill set than your starter, what's the grand vision there? Are they just looking to transition to Lamar? Are they trying to make a QB2 for now? Do you see Flacco getting traded? You know, our Bills fans aren't too in tune with exactly the plan there.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, coming from our end, really, there isn't much of a public plan for Lamar Jackson as of right this second. I think the obvious thing, and Jacob, maybe you can back me up on this or say something different, but I think the obvious plan is let Joe Flacco ride out his current deal as much as you possibly can. Maybe he has a mediocre year this year and you get rid of him next year. But you're doing the same thing like you are with Allen, just maybe over a longer period where you transition into that offense. Lamar Jackson has a big arm. He can be really accurate. He can be that pocket quarterback if necessary, but he's also a guy that is as dangerous as they come with his legs. I mean, Jacob, do you see anything different in terms of the game plan for him this year, maybe next year?
No, I mean, I think it's definitely a wait and see approach. I mean, I go back to draft night when, minutes after they selected Lamar, they traded back up to get him in that last pick in the first round. And Ozzie Newsome said drafting him in the first round was definitely factored in. This is not verbatim, but factored in because on that first round deal, you get that fifth year option on him. So that was a factor. So I think it's more of just a wait and see approach. And like you said, they want to see Flacco pretty much ride out the contract and play it by year. The Ravens aren't going to make any decisions too far ahead. They've always been a patient franchise. And, I think that's just kind of where they're at with that. But real quick, Kevin, I wanted to ask you, going back to Peterman, do you think that Peterman would have started this season? And I'm putting you on the spot here a little bit, but do you think he would have started the season if the Bills opened up against maybe, let's say, like the Browns and the Jets, or two very below average teams that maybe it might be easier to make the case for Allen to start those games?
I believe he wouldn't be playing. No, I don't think that I think that they're trotting him out. They'll have an excuse to go to their rookie quarterback rather than the opposite. Let's say Josh Allen goes out, struggles against Cleveland, struggles against New York. You don't want to switch back and forth. That doesn't look good. Then you can't have the competition argument. He's not learning. I believe that does play a role in this situation. On top of getting Peter, and once again, he's a sophomore. Getting him really good game action against good defenses is something they're looking to do. It's not someone they're trying to get killed, get him out of there, trade him, cut him, whatever. Quarterback in Buffalo. Their two quarterbacks are on this roster If they're bad, well, you're going to see a regime change, but that's what they're rolling with, these two salaries. $5 million for two quarterbacks, and they're going to have a QB1 and a QB2. That's a plan that's been discussed, and that's pretty much what they're going to do here in Buffalo. So does Josh Allen take over? If Peterman looks good and goes 2-2 in this gauntlet stretch that they have, the season gets really easy for the Bills. I don't know. It might be tough for them to transition away from Peterman if he has a couple of good showings against really quality teams. And a guy that's really I can't stress it to you guys enough. He's drastically improved to a guy. I was a big negative guy on Nathan Peterman. I thought it was a joke that he replaced Tyrod Taylor in a playoff push, but he did. He got that experience. He looks a lot better now, gets the ball really quickly. He's very accurate. And he was up there in 80% in the preseason, probably top five quarterback in the preseason. So he's a guy that's going to come in there and not be afraid to throw it on any defense. So we'll see what happens there.
Yeah, it sounds like a very similar situation, both in Buffalo and in Baltimore. You've got a guy that you feel decently confident in rolling with as of right now, but you have that backup option for we're gonna groom this guy, we're gonna let him take his time as need be. If we need to put him in early, maybe we do so, but generally speaking, it seems like it's just a wait and see approach from both franchises in terms of quarterbacks. So definitely, that's a good thing. Well, Kevin, let me talk to you real quick about betting. I know betting has become a huge thing in this league, especially with the court cases kind of coming down. I know there's a spot that you go to, that I go to, and Jacob goes to. Can you tell me a little bit more about it?
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, ever since I started this podcast, people ask me all the time where I'm going, what I'm doing, where I'm finding games, where the lines are. And I've been checking out MyBookie. MyBookie is one of the best sites out there, and I would recommend it to anybody that's listening to this podcast. Make your way over to MyBookie. You win on that site. They pay you. It's one of the best that I can ever imagine. It's really good interface, and they have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business. And for you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet that over under on how many fantasy points a player will score in each game. So that's kind of cool. Join though at MyBookie and use promo code LOCKEDON. Once again, promo code LOCKEDON will match your deposit dollar for dollar if you use that promo code. Check out MyBookie and don't forget that LOCKEDON promo code. You pay, play, you win, you get paid.
Excellent, excellent. Well, let's also talk quickly about the college launch. I know college has been kind of a large thing. Obviously, it just got started. We're just starting up a bunch of college shows. The Locked On Network is expanding with college shows. Coming this week, Locked On Wolverines, Locked On Buckeyes, and Locked On Seminoles. Plus, we've already locked on the Ducks, Nittany Lions, Bears, the Crimson Tide, the Wildcats, Razorbacks, Volunteers, and Cougars. Find your favorite college show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. Let's go ahead and talk a little about when the Ravens have the ball. So obviously, Joe Flacco, Alex Collins are going to be leading the offense. You've got the Bills, and they've made a bunch of changes this year defensively. They've added a bunch of guys. Jacob, tell me a little bit about what have the Ravens done this offseason? Who have they added this offseason in order to kind of give them a more competent offense?
Well, the Ravens, obviously the receiving core was the biggest concern coming to the offseason. They added Willie Snead, Michael Crabtree, John Brown, and then a couple tight ends through the draft. They had Hayden Hurst and Mark Andrews, two guys that the Ravens are going to be looking to maybe run down the seam a little bit, open up the field. And then you bring back Alex Collins, who had a good year taking over at the running back position last year, and then Buck Allen and Kenneth Dixon behind him. Both serviceable guys. And then I think the biggest addition to the offensive line, even though he was with the team last year, he was injured, was Marshall Yanda getting that right guard back. So that'll really help out Alex Collins as well.
Absolutely. And Kevin, I know that having covered the Panthers for a little while, Sean McDermott, the former defensive coordinator there, now the head coach of the Buffalo Bills, bringing in some of his guys. Can you tell me about who the Bills kind of brought in this offseason to help bolster that defense?
It's a defense that they've taken pride on. They've built it from the ground up. They've cut. The Bills only have 10 remaining players left from Rex Ryan a year and a half ago. So they completely overhauled it. They completely overhauled their secondary, and they love it. I mean, it's a defense that they think that they're going to win games on. I mean, similar to last year, a very opportunistic defense. But one of the biggest names they obviously signed was Star Latulale. Gave him big money, kind of replacing Marcell Dareus here in Buffalo. And a guy that's been all that's been asked for. He's been a run clogger, then he's been freeing up his linebackers. He's been a really good addition to this defense. That's supplementing, you know, obviously Jerry Hughes, the Bills' main pass rusher, and Trent Murphy, a guy that had 10 sacks with Washington. So they have a fairly decent front four, and obviously they're, you know, their rookie core vet, or excuse me, their core veteran in Kyle Williams, a guy that just has been so much of the team in the locker room and just always is going to bring a really good, you know, pass rushing defensive tackle into the game. And then they have a really good depth behind that. Harrison Phillips is a guy they took in the third round. They really love that they're ready to transition to Kyle's role when he finally does retire. Third round pick in Adolphus Washington a couple of years ago, and Shaq Lawson a first round pick. So they have some good depth behind their starter. So it's a place of strength for the team, as well as obviously they trade with the Ravens to get the pick to select Tremaine Edmonds, a guy that's been, you know, 20 years old. And he's on everything asked of him. He's calling this defense, and they're trying to develop him into a Luke Kuechly type of player with that athleticism. So you couple that with one of the better secondaries in the league with, you know, obviously Trey White, Jordan Poyer, and Micah Hyde. They're hoping that the front seven can elevate the play to kind of pick up the Bills offensively. And I'm guessing, you know, similar to what Baltimore's experienced over many years, the Bills are built in the same mold of, we spent a lot of money on defense. We're going to make you lose yourself. They're going to make you commit turnovers. That's how the Bills style of defense plays. And they're, you know, they mostly play a zone. So they're going to sit back and they're going to wait for you to make a mistake, whether it's a fumble, bobble, all that. Bills are very opportunistic, and that's kind of what made them into their playoff race last year. So it's a defense that I'm really excited about. If the Bills had a better offense, I absolutely think they can make some noise with a very quality defense. But it's one that I'm really looking forward to on this side of the ball than playing the Ravens, which I think is a really good matchup both ways. So I think it's when we're talking about this this competition, I think that the Ravens offense and Bills defense will be really good test for both of them. I mean, bouncing it back to you, and Hayden Hurst is a guy that's not expected to play. Do you have any other offensive injuries, or, I mean, kind of, you talk to me a little bit about that. Is there any other issues? Like, who's expected, you know, what have you seen from your receiving core? They're mostly all new, you know, you got a college free agent, a fifth round pick, and you know, a bunch of new veteran receivers. How's it looking there? Who's expected to come, who's expected to do something?
Yeah, I mean, Hayden Hurst is obviously out with that stress fracture. It should be out with that stress fracture, excuse me. He's really the only offensive injury as of right now. Everybody else is, knocking on wood, with this Baltimore Ravens team. They are healthy as of right now. So some serious positives there. I know on Locked On Ravens and previously, we've talked about this offense and what they can do. You know, Michael Crabtree, John Brown, Willie Snead, Chris Moore, those wide receivers each kind of have like a niche role in this offense. Crabtree being your red zone guy, your possession guy. John Brown kind of doing what the Ravens were hoping Jeremy Maclin was going to be able to do last year, except for he's just a better version of Jeremy Maclin than Jeremy Maclin is, even when Maclin was healthy. And then, you know, Willie Snead just kind of does a little bit of everything. He's great in the zone. He knows how to find that hole and just collect those easy catches. And then Chris Moore is kind of your deep threat slash he could do a little bit of everything. He's good for a big play every single game. If you're not paying that much attention to him. So, a lot of really good things we've seen out of here in Baltimore and having gone to training camp and seen the practices and obviously seeing the preseason games. This is, I say this repeatedly, but this is the first time I've actually seen a truly competent offense out of Baltimore in more than a decade. And that's saying something. They haven't been great in the past, but they look like they're NFL caliber offense all of a sudden.
And the depth too is what's NFL caliber. I mean, you know, you hear guys, veterans especially, talk about having depth being imperative. I mean, look at last year with Philadelphia and the Eagles. If they didn't have a backup quarterback, they're not winning the Super Bowl. And this year the Ravens, oddly enough, bringing two backup quarterbacks into the fold. The first time they've done that in almost a 10 years, actually less than a little bit less than 10 years, 9 years. So, you know, they have depth at every position, it seems like, for the first time in a while.
There's a weakness. Where would you say that it is on the offense?
Personally, for me, I'll say it's the offensive line. I mean, with Ryan Jensen, the center, going on to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, there's kind of a hole in the center of that offense. And then when you have James Hurst expected to go back to left guard, but he's been pretty wishy-washy over his entire career. And then if he goes to left guard, then you've got a rookie in Orlando Brown Jr. that's going to go ahead and start on the right side at tackle. So a lot of question marks there just in terms of how everyone's really going to play. Can they go ahead and keep up with what they did last year offensive on the offensive line? And then even further than that, injuries. Injuries along that offensive line, you know, it's something that we've kind of complained about really all offseason or all preseason, is once you get the starters out of the way, the offensive line starts giving up a lot of sacks. They start giving up, you know, big penetration into the run game. They're still good to bring a big play on the run game or to give the quarterback a decent amount of time, but they're so wishy-washy. They're so hot and cold. So it's really just a matter of staying healthy across the board, in my opinion.
Good. I mean, on the Bills end, you'll see a weakness probably. One that they have weaknesses on the offensive side of the ball because they tried their best to shore up any possible spot, which is interesting for a team that's not expected to compete more than, you know, to exceed expectations of 7-9 would be competing for them. So they did shore up most of their holes. They went out and spent for Vontae Davis, and obviously using their second first round draft choice and Tremaine Edmonds on a developed Matt Milano. Lorenzo Alexander's a guy they really liked. So the Bills do have depth on this defense. I mean, if there's a hole on the Bills defensively, it's maybe their nickel slot and their fourth round pick Taron Johnson. You never know what you're going to get from a rookie nickel. So that would kind of be their spot. And, you know, obviously Vontae Davis is coming off an injury. So But that's going to be the strength. So if you see Baltimore moving the ball, looking good throughout the game, I don't know that the Bills are going to be able to do enough to combat that, because the defense is supposed to be able to, you know, be the ones that are going to keep them in this game.
Well, since we've talked a little about the offense and the defense, obviously fantasy football is as big as it's ever been. I just had my draft not that long ago. I know Jacob just had his, last night. So let's talk a little about fantasy football, and obviously it's perfect for the Locked On Network. So the Locked On Network has a brand new fantasy football show called Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7. Fantasy Football 24/7 will give you the latest trends, the hottest roster moves, and where to get the advantage. Plus, Ethan Turner, the injury expert, gives you the edge. Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7 is here to help you win your league. So let's talk a little about when the Bills have the ball. Obviously, we mentioned Nathan Peterman. One question that I've asked, a bunch of different Bills fans and you know, you guys on here on Locked On Bills, has been, you're out two pretty big offensive linemen in Eric Wood and Richie Incognito. That has to hurt that offensive line, even though they were pretty solid last year, obviously paving the way for LeSean McCoy to get, a little over 1,100 yards on the ground.
It's interesting because offensive line's an unknown in Buffalo. They've done a lot of things to not show. They've rotated some stuff to kind of future opponents will get, you know, all their offensive line calls kind of in the dark. They just named their starting center yesterday, and Ryan Groy, a guy they really like. They paid, he was tendered by LA Rams to be their starting center, but the Bills matched that in restricted free agency, a guy they really like at center. I don't think that that's a downgrade from Eric Wood, who was on the downside of his career and actually probably was the weak link of the Bills offensive line. They lost Cordy Glenn to Cincinnati, a guy that was constantly injured for his potential, had a huge salary, and is probably worse than their starting left tackle in Deion Dawkins, a guy they really like. Jordan Mills plays just backup football. He's okay. He's never going to be an issue, but he's not going to do anything great. Really, where you're going to see a gaping issue is Vlad Dukas is going to start at left guard instead of, in my opinion, they should just roll out their fifth round pick Wyatt Teller. A guy that has a lot of potential. Let him learn. Let him, you know, go through some really good defenses here and kind of figure it out. I don't think you're going to get anything from Vlad Dukas, but it's an offensive line that is just babied by Juan Castillo, a guy that has a good name in the business. I'm interested. That's the most interested I am in any position group. You could get anywhere from it being a big them actually playing as well as last year's unit because they had guys in and out of it. Once again, Cordy Glenn being a main issue, being replaced pretty easily. And they do have some depth. They lost two interior offensive linemen they couldn't find a line spot for in Adam Redmond, who was claimed a center, as well as they did cut Ike Bodiger from Iowa. He was a undrafted guy that they were trying to get onto their practice squad. So the Bills are deep at the offensive line position. They like Russell Bodine as a backup. Wyatt Teller, I mentioned, Marshall Newhouse and Connor McDermott is a guy they've been developing. So you're going to get that depth, but you're not going to get those front end starters at the offensive line position group. And they've always learned how to make way for LeSean McCoy, no matter who's the coach, no matter who's the offensive line. So it's going to be an interesting unit. I'm really excited to see him play Baltimore, and they're generally attacking, you know, 3-4 style of defense.
Yeah, you know, I'll say this. Baltimore fans obviously know Juan Castillo. He was offensive line coach here in Baltimore, and they definitely know Vlad Dukas, who was also an offensive lineman here in Baltimore. Sad to see Castillo go. Not all that sad to see Dukas go, if that's any indication, obviously, of where both those guys are at in Buffalo. It seems like it's a trend from over there as well. So Jacob, what can the Bills, or excuse me, the Ravens do to help kind of maybe stop LeSean McCoy? Can that run defense keep up with one of the better running backs in the league?
Yeah, I mean, and you know, we talk about depth again. The one of the draft picks the Ravens used this year in the fourth round, they grabbed an inside linebacker from UCLA, Kenny Young. So again, that's just a position where they have a lot of depth, and I'm expecting another good year from CJ Mosley, playing on a rookie contract, 1 year contract, I believe, actually, not rookie contract, but 1 year left on his contract, so it's a contract year for him, and. Especially the pass rush. We talked a little bit about Matt Judon being in his third year. I think this is a year where we really see him step up, get into that double-digit sack total. Another guy where the Ravens were able to find a good pick in that fifth, sixth round area back in 2016. So he's definitely another guy on the other side of Terrell Suggs that Buffalo needs to be considering and making sure that all their line adjustments are accounting for both of those guys. I mean, I feel like LeSean McCoy is just going to kind of get his. He's proven that throughout his career. He's a very solid guy. He's very shifty. He's always able to turn things, into something when it doesn't look like there's a lot there. But really, it's just going to come down to that battle against CJ Mosley. But another battle that I want to ask you guys about a little bit, and this kind of gears it towards the secondary, and the Ravens weren't the best last year against the tight end. Charles Clay is obviously a guy that has been very consistent over the years. And just going back to last year, the season finale where the Ravens lost to the Bengals, Tyler Croft was big in that game. 6 catches, 53 yards, 2 touchdowns. Against the Tennessee Titans last year when the Ravens lost, they gave up 71 yards to Delanie Walker. He was their leading receiver that day. So there's going to be an emphasis, especially on this secondary, the first 4 games, because Jimmy Smith is not going to be there because of suspension. But I want to kind of ask you guys how you think that matchup might kind of dictate the game, if at all, because I want to see who the Ravens have on Clay and how they're able to kind of prevent too much damage from being done down the middle of the field there.
Yeah, here's this. If you were starting Josh Allen on Sunday in this game, I would feel absolutely great to watch this, as you know, as a Ravens fan. Don't think he's there yet. His rocket arm, he'll make crazy plays. Nathan Peterman's a guy that loves his tight ends, and he's made jobs for many of them. Jason Krumen, undrafted free agent last year, is a guy that has crazy athleticism, had a great preseason. The Bills, actually, a guy that was hurt last year as an undrafted free agent, didn't show anything in 2017. Lock because of Nathan Peterman, coming from Tennessee, a really good athletic talent. They really love him as a second tight end. He's going to be involved early. So he's a guy that you're going to need to match up with, probably with a safety. And he's going to be part of the game plan. And Brian Daboll, their new offensive coordinator from Alabama, really loves tight end move tight ends. Huge fan of Charles Clay. This Nathan Peterman absolutely loves using them. He uses all of them. He'll find Logan Thomas, a converted quarterback, who's been a really good backup tight end. It's probably one of the Bills' strength on offense. If you were to pick a strength on their entire offense, is definitely their tight end group, with Clay, Kroom, Thomas, and Kyrie Lee, a really good blocking tight end with a lot of athleticism. They're going to use all 4 of them in this game. They're actually going to probably game plan with all 4 of them to see whether there's a matchup that they can use. Because once again, the offensive line's not necessarily their strength. Obviously, the quarterback's not the strength. They do have LeSean McCoy, so they like their running back room. But that's about it. They like the running back and tight end room. And obviously the receiver room is unknown as it is for you guys as it is for us. So it's going to be interesting. You make a good point. If the Bills compete and or can pull away in this game, it's because that they really found success with the tight end group. So it's a good note you made.
You know, I'll say this about the Ravens. I think, you know, their game plan all along, and this is what they do with relatively inexperienced quarterbacks, which either Allen or Peterman's going to be, they're going to gun after him hard. I mean, they're going to try to make whatever quarterback standing back there pee himself after the first quarter, just simply by sending as many blitzes, as many unique blitzes, blitzes from different areas, pretend that they're going to blitz and then drop back into coverage. They're going to try to confuse this kid and hit him as often as they possibly can. So while I think that's going to be the way that they're going to really game plan against everything, they're going to stop LeSean McCoy. They're going to do everything they can to do that. And they're going to hit Peterman and say, beat me. Beat this defense, Peterman, if you can. And if you can make some big plays either through the seam, with his tight ends. That'd be great, but he's going to be under some duress to do so, and we've typically seen Baltimore go ahead and beat up on young quarterbacks for exactly this manner. They make big mistakes, which Baltimore capitalizes on like no other defense in this league, and that's usually how the game plan ends up going, and that's usually a Ravens win in that situation. It occasionally bites them if you get a really good quarterback who just has the right matchup, but this is going to be a really tough one, I think, for Nathan Peterman to try to figure out and figure out with snap judgment.
One thing that he's been working on entire preseason, had really good numbers against pressure. So he's going to be a guy who gets the ball absolutely quick. If he's accurate, he can compete in this. If he's not accurate, it's going to be a long, long game. If he's missing out routes and he's not able to call hot routes, and he's missing those tight ends out of the backfield. It's one he's been hitting all preseason. So we're interested to see, once again, if this was Josh Allen playing in this game against the Baltimore defense, I would feel the Bills had actually less of a chance to win this. So it's funny. Yeah. I've made it a long way from pretty much wanting to cut Nathan Peterman in the offseason and saying, Josh Allen, AJ McCarron, that's fine for us right now. Let's see what happens with that. To Nathan Peterman absolutely outplaying AJ McCarron. And at this point, as of today, outplaying Josh Allen. He's a guy that was 80% completion percentage. He played a really good Cincinnati defense and actually played him really well in the preseason. Cincinnati was playing the game pretty serious in the dress rehearsal game. And he found Jason Kroom on a hot route tight end. So on a hot route touchdown, excuse me. So I'm interested to see this. I mean, early, if Nathan Peterman's on, he stays on. That's what's interesting about him. If he's off, he stays off. He does not find it. So that's the best way I can put it. If you see him off early, he's not a guy that makes self-correction. He's not, obviously not that kind of player like Matt Stafford who might look bad during stretches and pick it up. He's going to be a guy that's going to stay down on it. But if he finds the game plan's working, he's a guy that absolutely plays with rhythm. So I'm interested to see it. I think it's a great test for the team. Obviously, it's one that Baltimore shot up, I believe, to 7-point favorites after AJ McCarron, which is ridiculous. They should have already been 7-point favorites. McCarron is not a 4-point swing. Absolutely not. It's actually probably the other way. So if you had it at 3, it should have gone to 2. But it's, I don't know where they get the 4 points from out of AJ McCarron. I don't know what, I mean, the Bills also dropped from like 7-9 to like 5-11, according to betting. So check out my bookie for that.
Sounds like a great way to go ahead and make a little bit of cash with my bookie. If they're predicted to go, 5-11, I'd bet the over on that pretty quickly. It's week one football. We don't really know what either team actually has until the final whistle. And then we can go, okay, yeah, that's where weaknesses really are. That wasn't just a mirage in preseason, or that wasn't a situation where, like you said, with the offensive line, they rotated guys in to make it maybe look better than it actually is. Who knows? We'll find out Sunday at roughly about 5 p.m. when the game's finally over. Other than that, is there anything that maybe fans of either the Bills or the Ravens should focus on in terms of this game? Is there anything that we've missed out of all of this talk?
I wanted to, I guess, you know, I know that I've seen some statistics, how much Jimmy Smith means to the Baltimore defense. I thought that was a huge break, I guess, for the first 4 teams that are playing the Ravens to catch that break. Is that a serious, I know with the secondary as it is now, is that a serious, you know, call it a break for a Bills offense that could use any break possible?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, especially if, if, like you said, Peterman's a guy who will, if he gets out maybe early, he'll be able to stay on. If the Ravens are unable to maybe make some adjustments early, if there's some confusion along the defense, in terms of maybe some zone coverage that they're using. Yeah, that's definitely a concern. Now, you do have veterans Eric Weddle and Tony Jefferson at the safety positions that will be able to, or at least should be able to, clean up any type of big play that might happen. So I don't think there's too much of a concern in terms of a big play potential that is lost with Jimmy Smith out. But that's definitely something where I could see Nathan Peterman maybe getting into a rhythm early and taking advantage of that, with the Ravens having to kind of slide one down the depth chart. And Kelvin Benjamin's a big physical guy too, so it'll be interesting to see how the Ravens maybe shift a little bit of their zone coverage around towards him, if at all, to just kind of make sure you have somebody over the top there for him.
And to end the conversation, I think it's a good point to mention. We didn't mention the Bills receiving group, and glad you took a moment too. Kelvin Benjamin's a guy that's back and healthy, that they're looking forward to big things from. Zay Jones, a guy that's back off of his bizarre Vegas kicking a window and almost jumping off like the 30th floor. looks good and back and focused, guy that we were looking forward to when they drafted him early in the second round. Jeremy Curley's been a really good slot presence for the team, and they really like their young Robert Foster from Alabama, a guy that played with Brian Daboll last season, and Ray McLeod, a guy that can do a little bit of everything. Bills fans aren't optimistic about the receiving group. You ask this team, is what's going to win them football games. So this is the number one thing to be watching out for on the Bills offense would be. I'm confident in the tight end group. If you're watching this, like you mentioned, there will be some opportunities there. Definitely, everyone knows LeSean McCoy, but it's the receiving group that I think is interesting. I think there's fantasy players there. It's just game, and I think Baltimore's a really good gauge of where this receiving core is. For fantasy purposes going forward, who's going to get Nathan Peterman's targets, because he's going to throw the ball a lot.
Excellent, excellent. Well, it seems like, both fan bases are really excited about what is coming for both these teams, both in the short term and the long term. There's a lot of optimism. There's a lot of hope in both the offense and the defense from both sides, as well as quarterbacks that are currently there, as well as quarterbacks that were drafted to eventually take over. So a lot of excitement out of both of these franchises, and hopefully, hopefully we see each other come the playoff time. That would be great. It would be nice to maybe stick it back to Bengals fans and take you guys out of the playoffs.
Yeah, definitely. It's one that the Bills fans celebrated Cincinnati a little bit too much here. So I hope there's a competition. I thought that if nothing else, it's great to have, 9-7 battles down the stretch. And I think the Bills will be there in the future. They're a building team. They have $90 to $100 million. They were said to be in on Khalil Mack. So they're a team that, once again, no one expects to do anything. Sean McDermott always exceeds expectations. And it's been probably the Bills' best coaching hire that they've had since Marv Levy, their Super Bowl coach. So I'm excited. I'm really excited. I always like watching Baltimore. I always like their style of play. I like watching John Harbaugh. So it'll be 2 out of 3 years that they play opening day against each other. So hopefully we can recap this game, maybe get across social maybe later in the season or toward the end as the playoff battles happen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, let's go ahead and close this one out. It is Locked On Ravens, Locked On Bills. You've got Kevin Massare at Kevin Massare, M-A-S-S-A-R-E, on Twitter. You have Jacob Troxel at Trox3, T-R-O-X-3. And you have myself, Matthew Stevens, Matthew S underscore NFL. And you can catch both of us at Locked On Bills, at Locked On Ravens on Twitter. Make sure you go ahead and tune into both of our shows every day this week, because we're going to be talking about these matchups as the weeks go on. So a lot of exciting stuff coming out of both of these sides, guys. Thank you guys very, very much for doing this. And that's another wonderful crossover episode completed.
Thanks for having me, guys.